So I see that this patient now has got beyond all that. She got a year of trastuzumab. She's on anastrozole as adjuvant therapy. Interesting, too, you know, we just finally saw the adjuvant pertuzumab data. This whole thing that this patient went through getting neoadjuvant pertuzumab, it's been going on now for a couple of years. We've been waiting to see what happened. Adding pertuzumab in the adjuvant setting kind of helped, but it wasn't any kind of a home run.
Right.
Reduced recurrences like by 20%. Now people are not sure what to do. Maybe they're just going to give it in the node positive. Actually, if you think about this lady going back to when she first presented, so she had a positive node, she was high risk, but yet I guess your oncologist decided, well, of course it was a couple years ago. We didn't have the data.
Yeah, we didn't.
I don't know if she presented today whether they might try adding in. How did she do on the neoadjuvant pertuzumab? The one thing I've heard a little bit about is diarrhea. Did she have that?
You know, she did not have significant problems. They do sometimes have diarrhea. However, I find that our medical oncologists are managing it pretty well.
Yeah.
They're kind of jumping on it and they're decreasing it to tolerable levels for the patients.
Yeah, I think they're a lot more aware of it. But it is interesting. We'll see what happens over the next couple of years to patients like this.
Yes.
Are they going to try to get a little bit of an extra bump? You know, the other thing that happened, I'm curious what your thoughts are, is in addition to the pertuzumab data coming out, because people were like, didn't know what to do. There was no data. Some people were using it, some not. But the other thing is like out of the blue, I mean, to me, neratinib, tyrosine kinase inhibitor, has now been approved post-adjuvant therapy. So your patient went through a year of trastuzumab. Theoretically, now they would be eligible for a year of this tyrosine kinase inhibitor, kind of, I guess, a little bit like lapatinib, to try to knock the recurrence rate a little bit lower down. Any thoughts about that strategy? Are you thinking about it? Are your oncologist thinking about it?
You know, we haven't talked specifically about it. And I think in the high-risk patients, you know, if somebody has a path CR, how much benefit are they going to get from neratinib? But in the high-risk patient who has residual disease, has been refractory to whatever they've been given, assuming, I mean, even in this setting, if that patient still had positive node or tumor in her breast, I would certainly consider adding on something adjuvantly.
And of course, I mean, it is oral.
But it does also have some toxicities.
Absolutely, you know, and again, diarrhea, again,
yeah.
You know, you have to use preemptive treatment. But I mean, on the other hand, it's oral, you can stop it if you really haven't.
Yes.
But yeah, no, what I'm hearing about are actually more typical case that I'm hearing people thinking about both pertuzumab adjuvantly and even neratinib later is the multiple positive node patient, two nodes or more. And it's interesting, you know, we all think that anti-HER therapy is such a home run, but when you ask people, and I don't know what your estimate would be, you have a patient who starts out with two positive nodes. Let's forget the neoadjuvant, just standard adjuvant situation, two positive nodes. They get their adjuvant chemo, trastuzumab, even pertuzumab. Let's say they get all that. What would you say the residual risk of recurrence is after they're done all that?
Oh, wow. That's a tough, tough number to come up with.
I can tell you that when I've asked people to estimate it, I mean, this is like totally, you know, I don't know where it's exact. I hear numbers like 10, 12% that you don't get rid of all the risks.
No,
by
that's,
giving.
That's absolutely
and,
true.
And, you know, getting back to your patient, you know, it's all this relative risk, like your patient earlier, the
yes.
radiation going from 6 to 3. But I mean, if you can go from 10% down to 6 for a pill, maybe people are going to think about it. I don't know. I'd be really curious to see how people are going to use it.
It will be. And I also think that when HER2-positive patients recur or develop metastatic disease, it's bad. I mean, they often get brain involvement. I mean, it's not a pretty sight when they have recurrences.
Right. So we'll see. It's going to be very interesting. These two things kind of happen at the same time in HER2.
Yeah.
So we'll see over the next year or so how people are responding to it.